Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
That's right. From the Colombo Chronicles, this is the Rose Colombo.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, and we're all happy to be alive. 6 feet above the ground is always a good thing, even if you have problems and challenges, which the whole world does today. And people are confounded by the lockdowns and the masks and the misinformation about COVID and the ups and downs of destroying people's lives and bringing them back up only to lock them down again and over this crazy, insane cycle. And nobody knows what's happening, which leaves people what? It leaves them anxious, frustrated, upset. It leaves them with a feeling of uncertainty as they watch their finances dwindle away. In America, they have not sent out a second stimulus check for months, and people have permanently lost their businesses over here in America. Not sure what's happening over in your countries, but I can tell you there are many stressed out people in America. In fact, the statistics prove, the healthcare statistics prove, that there is a substantial increase in the use of drugs and in the use of alcohol. And people are trying to drown out their financial pain and suffering and the isolation with drugs and alcohol. And abuse, there is an increase of abuse of children that doctors are now exposing, as well as spousal abuse. Because the number one reason why people fight and stress out in a marriage is finances, money, and loss of jobs. Unemployment. There are millions of people unemployed, and we don't even know how many people actually have lost their businesses permanently yet, because this pandemic is not over that China created and then concealed the information from America and the world. And we know that from information online, the World Bank was already investing in testing kits in 2018. Gates and Dr. Fauci were fear-mongering back in 2014 about a virus. And so it's here, and it's here, and China unleashed it, and we got misinformation. But bottom line is, the good news is that international doctors are coming forth and they are uniting like a coalition from all over the world. In fact, Senator Robert Kennedy is involved in this movement, you might say, to allow people to know what's happening in the world and around the world. And the actual numbers, according to these doctors, is that people who are tested positive or false positive, there is a 95 to 99% recovery. It is like if you had a cold, which is also linked to the coronavirus, according to the doctors, you would quarantine in your home for a week or two until you were well. Well, it's no different with any flu. You quarantine, you stay home, you try to stay away from people, you get well, and you get back school. But in this case, they're not allowing you to get back to work or to school, and they are also locking down innocent, healthy Americans who are suffering financially and emotionally, and the elderly and many people who live alone are suffering from isolation. All of this does stress people out. So today, I wanted to let you know we have a very special guest, Joyce Alexander Black. And she is passionate about supporting you on your path towards living your best life. She holds a master's degree in clinical psychology. She's worked in Watts and Beverly Hills, two extreme cities, as an intern, and currently works as an international empowerment coach. She's a speaker, an NLP master practitioner, a hypnotherapist, living between London and Los Angeles. She has also worked doing stress management in the television industry, Paramount Studios in Hollywood, California, Universal Studios in Studio City, California, NBC Burbank, California, Walt Disney Studios in Studio City, as well as others. She likes to work one-on-one as well, and with family groups, seminars, and in fact, if you would like to get a hold of her, she's going to give you her contact information during the show and how you can contact her. So on that note, before we enter into the world of authors and experts, and we do have an author expert today, let's take a break, grab a cup of coffee, sit back, relax, because after our part one on stress management, we're going to enter into the world of issues of the day and some of the issues that affect not only you and me and all of Americans, but also the world, because what happens in America stresses out the rest of the world as well, or it makes them very happy. So whichever it happens to be, we affect the rest of the world. So on that note, let's take a break, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc, Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts, and we have a great author and expert today, and Joyce Alexander Black. She has, as I stated, she has a wealth of information on us because she's passionate about supporting you and your path towards living your best life stress-free. And so let's just get started and not waste any time, because as the world turns, more people are getting stressed out. So let's de-stress you, and let's welcome Joyce Alexander Black to Columbo Chronicles Live. Hi, Joyce Alexander Black. How are you doing today?
Oh, fine. How are you, Rose? How's everything with you?
Well, actually, everything's going fine, considering I'm taking, you know, the information that we're receiving and researching everything, because it stresses you out if you don't actually do your research and find out what's happening out there in the world and when will we be free, healthy people again. So this is the perfect timing for you to be a guest on Colombo Chronicles, and we definitely welcome you because, first of all, I was curious, why did you choose stress management?
Well, okay, thank you for asking. What you're saying, first I just want to acknowledge what you're saying is stressful. What we're living in is stressful. And we have to be honest to ourselves, because what's happening is people are not expressing how they feel. They're repressing it. And that's what's causing a lot of additional problems. Obviously, you know, there's emerging evidence that COVID-19 is causing stress. I mean, we all know that. But, what I want to do a little bit more into the show is help people learn how to connect to their feelings. How I got into this, it happened to be that I came from a family who didn't teach good communication skills. So we would get upset, we would repress, we would get angry, we would not learn how to set boundaries, have our feelings heard, learn how to negotiate. And I started to see that a lot of people in relationships have really poor negotiating skills. And marriages and relationships and families that do well seem to all have whatever way they have it. They just, you know, respect each other's feelings and learn how to negotiate. So I decided, I really wanted to learn how to do it. So what better way than to get a master's degree in clinical psychology? So I was fascinated.
That's true.
when I was and I like my neighbor gave me this book on hypnotherapy, and I was just like, wow, all these things that I'm thinking about, it's in a book, someone knew about it. She's like, you've never seen a psychology book? I said, no, I'm only 10 years old. So that was my first like aha moment, and I just loved learning about body mind connection. And I used to be the owner of the Beverly Hills Licensed Massage Therapy Company. And I worked in the studios. I worked with lots of famous people and did stress management release. So they'd sit in their chair at their office in the studios. I'd go and give a 10-minute massage, or I had like a lot of therapists working for me. And I started to realize bodies carry our stress. And you can tell when someone comes out of a good meeting if it was good for them or if it wasn't. And somebody I knew many years ago who used to work in the studios, working on like, you know, million-dollar deals, negotiating them with like the top studios, I asked him, I said, what do you consider a good negotiation? And I'll never forget this. He said, when you don't win, the other person doesn't win, but you both can live with whatever the situation is. And I said, well, how is that a win? He said, well, in the studios and in life, if you win and the other one loses, you make the other person a zero, and they're not going to want to work with you in the future. If you have a family relationship and you win and the other one loses, you don't make them want to work with you because you won. But if you learn how to communicate and you learn how to negotiate, you can get better options in your own personal life. And you, me as well, this is a constant learning. You know, you teach it and you learn it and you teach it and you learn it again. It's a constant growing process. But one of the things I like to start with is to say the importance of breath. And like when people are feeling stressed, this is something everyone can take home with them. Just take a moment, and even if you're not feeling stressed, but there's just, you know, it's a difficult time. So the more you learn how to connect with your breath and your body, the more you help reduce your stress. So, for example, if you're feeling like you want to just take a moment, and you can do this, could take as long or as little as you like. I've known people to do this in 1 minute. Just breathe in through your, well, you start off with breathing out your stress, and you go like as hard as you can. And then you breathe in calm. And then you just go ahead, and you can try it with me, Rose. We're going to do it like 5 times. So you breathe out the stress, breathe in the calm. Breathe out the stress, breathe in the calm. Breathe out the stress, breathe out the stress, breathe in the calm. I don't know if we did 5 or 6 or 4 times. I wasn't counting. But anyway, the point is, it doesn't, it's not like a specific, you know, number. It's the idea is just to remember you are in control. And I think that's what a lot of people are having problems with right now, is they feel so out of control. It's like, what is going on? Is this true with COVID? Are we really, you know, in a crisis? Is this political? And nobody has the answers, but it's really good to have the questions. And like what you're saying about the importance of, like, you know, taking the time to be educated, it's so important, but it really depends on the person. For example, some people are, you know, like watching TV and the news nonstop. So that's not good. So like, figure out what is healthy, what's not. Like for someone who's not, you know, someone who doesn't watch TV much, they maybe need to up it a little bit. Or watch it too much, they need to work on minimizing it. Because whatever happens, you don't need to be connected 24/7. That's stress, like easy. That's something you can work on. So it's trying to find that balance that you could still live your life and be connected. It sounded like you wanted to say something. Did I?
Oh, yes. Actually, I am very much in tune with the breathing, because I was a licensed esthetician for many years, and that was one of my key things as well. And I do that every morning when I get up. I go outside and do it on the patio because I want the fresh air, especially with this mask wearing now. So with the mask wearing and your deep breathing, which I also agree with, clears the mind, the body, the spirit, the soul, and gets your cobwebs out of your head to start your day off. And so, which you also said, is I also agree, you should do it several times a day if you can. But with the mask, you're breathing in carbon monoxide, and it's cutting off your natural breathing. So that causes stress, at least for me it does. I go into a store, I can't wait to get out of the store, get in my car, and rip that mask off. And so how do people like me, who have a difficult time being confined in a mask without natural breathing oxygen and releasing carbon monoxide, how do you deal with that? Because I know a lot of people have told me the same thing. They run in the store, they can't take it, they just grab what they need and they're out. It's not like I'd go to a store and I'd stay there maybe for an hour shopping and looking and enjoying it, and that would relax me in a favorite store. It's not the same now. How do you relieve that stress or live with it?
Yeah, no, you're saying we've all experienced times where we literally couldn't breathe. And I think that there's a difference between, am I feeling anxious? And some people, I have to tell you, some of the people that I've been speaking with is more about, a lot of people are talking about just they don't want to do it because they don't want to be told what to do. And like, end up, like, I don't want to do it because I'm told not to, because I'm told I have to. So, you know, there's a lot of rebellious people in the world, you know, doesn't matter, you know, what country, whatever. There's just a lot of people who think like that. So I have to say that, let's just say, put politics aside, that you need to wear a mask to go into a store. Okay. So maybe before you go in, say, okay, like talk to the little girl or boy inside. This is not going to be so much fun as it used to be. And I'm choosing to do it because I want to get vegetables or I want to go get a new shirt or whatever it is. And this is what we have to do now to keep other people safe. And I will go in for X amount of time and I will come out. So you're letting your body and your conscious know that you're acknowledging this is not going to be as fun as it used to. And you're dealing with your feelings and understand that there, when you start, if you're in store and you're starting to feel anxious, you can always go to the bathroom and take your mask off, do this breathing, slow yourself down. You're in your own little private cubicle. And this way you have that space and you go, okay, I'm feeling anxious. I don't like this feeling. Understandable. We're doing this now because we have to. We're told we have to. We're told this is what we need to do to keep our world safe. And whether we agree or not, that's what's happening. So let's try to make it so we can manage it, because what's happening is people are not expressing their feelings. They're being told what to do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and my mom told me I had to wear clothes, I got really angry with her and I refused. She's like, you've got to do this. I don't want to. No, I'm not going to. And her and I had this big argument, but guess what? She won, of course. But the point is, I understand that feeling and frustration. Like, you can't tell me what to do. It doesn't make sense to me. And you can't really explain that to a child. So all the people with children right now, I really, really give them so much credit. How are they able to do what they need to do and explain this to a child? I can't even fathom all the different parts to this. What I can say is that it's so important you have a way to express your feelings. You can write it, take a notebook, start, you know, actually everyone could write their own book, their whole experience every day. You know, write when you feel bad, write in the morning. You know, there's this woman who wrote a book called, I can't think of the name right now, but it's called Pages. Like, there's writing pages and you write 3 pages a day. And it's an amazing feeling. And you do, there's so many ways people talk about writing. I mean, getting it out, screaming at a pillow, you know, cursing, whatever you need to get it out, get out whatever you feel, because what's happening is that it's really, really messed up. And if we pretend it's not, it's, oh, it's all fine. This is just what we need to do. We're going to be little, you know, little robots and follow. I'm just going into, my mom's telling me I have to wear clothes and it makes no sense to me. So let's get that little girl inside or little boy inside to talk and say, no, I don't want to do it, and feel it, express it. And then you can have that conversation with the little child. I know you don't want to. These are the reasons. And so as the adult, I think it's, you know, I'm making the decision we're wearing clothes or we're wearing a mask or whatever it is. But you have to express it. That's the thing, is that so many people repress it and then they get sick or they get depressed. And please, please, God, whoever is listening, if you are depressed or if you know anyone's depressed, please get to a doctor. There are so many people killing themselves and being on very depressed right now, losing their jobs, all this. And it's important you find a way to get it out. You don't want to keep it in, because that's what this craziness is about, is how do you express it? How do you get it out? You know?
So you're telling people you must be aware of what you do, right?
Yes, and what you feel. Most importantly, what you're feeling. What are you feeling? And you can ask yourself that 100 times a day. What am I feeling right now? Your self-esteem, your belief in yourself, and what you can help your friends and everyone around you is by learning how do you feel and how do you express it. Like, you can't repress it. And then there's another thing is that so many people... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. It's fine.
No, I'm saying so many people are losing jobs and they're overqualified. Well, what about all the jobs at pharmacies and grocery stores and places that need help and they can't find enough people? I mean, there are jobs. They're not, like, obviously there's, you know, so many people who don't have jobs. What I'm saying is there's lots of ways to deal with life. Like, I believe that we have stress, but we have to have stress management fun. Like, sometimes you just have to go, okay, I'm putting on Bob Marley and I'm dancing, you know, whatever it is, you know. It could be anybody you like. It could be John Lennon. It could be Imagine. It could be anything and everything you want. But you have to inject fun in your life. You cannot just live in the stress.
Yes, it's like when, you know, you listen, you know, I do a lot of research. So I'll just turn it off and I'll put, just like you said, I'll put one of my favorite older new, celebrities who sing songs that I make me happy, and or provide good memories, you know, and so that takes you out of that world of what's happening in our real world for at least a little while, so that you can revamp and face it again and do what you were doing. Because you can't stay in that, like you said, you can't stay in the news constantly, because the news is so depressing, doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And we're talking to to Joyce Alexander Black. She has her master's, and she is a clinical psychologist. And we're talking about stress management, especially in these difficult times with COVID. And so... what is your greatest fear about COVID, do you think that life will be like afterwards?
Good question. I just wanted to say I'm not a clinical psychologist. I have a master's in clinical psychology. Just a little difference, but just wanted to make sure people knew that.
All right. Thank you.
So as far as the... you know, COVID and finding that balance, you know, who knows what it looks like it's going to be after, and who knows how long after will be. What I can say to the people, like what I'm hearing a lot from people, it's like, well, I haven't put on makeup in 6 months. And I'm like, why not? They're like, because I just live alone. Well, so what? You look in the mirror, make yourself happy, make yourself beautiful, you know? If you can't get to the gym, well, then you can go jogging. I mean, there's a lot of options. I think the idea is to look at what can I do to be proactive? How do I inject some happiness in my life? How do I inject some light? How do I inject, you know, if I'm feeling like sad, then why don't I make a date with my girlfriend, have a cup of coffee every morning or every other morning, or have different girlfriends that we do coffee or tea, you know, or whatever, a glass of wine, whatever it is that makes sense to you, and that's healthy for you. And I think that it's important to understand that balance. And let's say we come back to a world that we all think will look like what we remember leaving it, but it won't, because restaurants are not going to be there. Stores are closing. I mean, some of my favorite stores I went to pick something up, and I couldn't believe that they're closed. So there's a lot of things that are changing, and it confuses everybody about what is really going on. And I think the most important thing we can do is stay informed, like you're saying. I think that's really good, because that gives you knowledge is power. And I know you're a real strong advocate for that, which I love. And I think it's important to find ways to say to yourself, okay, this is a difficult time. How am I going to live it? How am I going to choose to be there? Now, let's get out of me for a second. Let's focus on my friends, family, people, losing people. How do I show up for them? Maybe I just send them, you know, a text message and say, I'm thinking about you and I love you. I did that with a girlfriend of mine the other day. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm having, you know, a challenging day. Thank you for the text. You're welcome. Thank you for being in my life. Just, you know, how to create hope, how to create belief in yourself. Like you're saying, you know, you put on some nice music and it makes you smile. I think that's wonderful. And I think that's what we have to, like, encourage others to do. Because this
yes,
will
I mean,
pass.
I'll even dance by myself. I don't care. <You know>? I mean, seriously, it's fun, you know. I mean, I don't have anybody to dance with, but I dance by myself. Who cares, you know? And, you know, and plus it's good exercise, and we need the exercise that goes along with the mind, body, and spirit anyway, and the deep breathing that you mentioned in the beginning. And but the other problem is the elderly with the isolation, like with my mother. She has caregivers, but she had the news on all the time, and then she'd call me and she'd be upset. You know, everybody's dying from this flu, and did it, you know. And so I had her neighbor change her television so she only gets happy movies, like from Hallmark.
Oh,
and now I don't
wonderful.
Hear the end of the world is coming, you know. So
yes.
I think that's important to remember them, you know, that it affects them even more than, you know, because they're already afraid of dying, you know, because they're elderly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when they're watching happy movies, they aren't calling you and telling you the news said everything's burning down. Then we got this flu and we're all going to die. And, you know, and they really, truly are afraid. It really and truly, it's a reality.
Well, there's also something interesting that you mentioned. My mother passed away over 2.5 years ago, and I have a master's in clinical psychology. And when it took one of my mom's friends to say to me, I think your mom needs some antidepressants. And I said, why would you say that? And she said, because she's really depressed. And she said, I'm depressed. And I started taking them, and I'm much better now. And I said, interesting. I never thought of my mother that way. That's a very good point. Let me give it some thought. And I had a conversation with my mother's doctor, and I got my mother on some antidepressants, and she was so much better off because she was calling my friend every day and like end of the world. And what my mother's doctor said to me is, if they're depressed, it is not, you're not sitting there worried about addiction at this age. You're worried about getting them through. Why not? And I said, brilliant. Let's do it. Let's try it. And talked with my siblings at the same time, and they all agreed, and we did it. And I never would have thought of it on my own. And it's, I guess, because what do they say? You know, when it's your parents, you don't think like you're the, you know, you're the one, who can think like that. But it was really, we're really at a time where I think we need to think about, like, if we have people around us who are sad or depressed, to say, hey, let's see what we can do to get the person through. Let's see what we can do, because, you know, the elderly is going through so much, and they're also at high risk. And so they're at high risk, and, you know, there's just lots of challenges. And I think that it's harder when you have somebody who, you know, is older to deal with feelings. However, there's lots of different things that people can do that I found that has really helped, is like have small plans. Like, for in other words, let's say someone says, okay, it's really hard for me to wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning when I like to wake up at 11, but I know it's good for me. So 45, 10:30, then 10:15, then to 10, and start to change slowly. Make small moves. Don't say, oh, I haven't worked out. I know it's good for me. I'm going to go and work out. Well, good for you. Fantastic. How long is that going to last? How about let's just do small steps. And then when you make them, give yourself, even if it's a sticker, give yourself a happy smile. Make yourself just proud of yourself, you know, give yourself, you know, a pat on the back. There's so many things to do that will help you get through. And sometimes it's the little things that really make a difference.
Does that make sense to you? And it absolutely makes sense to me. And, you know, just doing a random act of kindness for somebody as well, you know, you see homeless or you know, somebody's living alone, even if they're not a relative, you know, you could send them, you know, bring them some flowers or anything to cheer them up when they're alone and they know they're not, you know, they're not forgotten, especially during this isolation, because there's so much isolation now. We are not used to that. And then there's so many people who are social, like my daughter. I mean, she's a social butterfly, you know. And this is really something she's had to adjust to and still working on it. And there's lots of young people like that. And so there's also people who are married with little children and they're still working. And the... and then they are not they're in a bad situation in their marriage, and then they have this COVID issue going on, and the unemployment hanging over everybody's heads who are working, yes, if they're lucky enough to be working. And so I ran into a girl at the bank, and she started opening up to me, and so I was wondering, what do you say to those young people with children and a bad marriage and you got COVID and then, then you don't know if you're going to be able to keep your job because you don't have any idea what's happening with the job market any longer?
I think that
how did they overcome their stress?
Right. I think it's taking it slower and taking one step at a time. Like, first of all, how do you deal with, I mean, you bring up a good point, like people who are not in good communication with their spouse. And now guess what? They're stuck in the house with them. All their issues are flying at each other. So I always am a person who says, let's talk about the elephant in the room. And sometimes that gets me in trouble. But you know what? I still believe it. I'll believe that till the day I die. It's really important. Let's not live in denial. Let's allow people the freedom to speak. And be honest. And maybe there's times where you have to say, you know, you can't just, like, some people, I mean, they bitch, moan, and complain, you know, all day long. That's really annoying and hard to live with. So you have to be able to say, like, if you want to complain about something, we have to set up an appointment, because otherwise that will just make living it with someone like that really difficult. And we're all like that at different times as well. So, like, everybody has a little bit of everything. And some people, you know, need a little bit more. The other thing is, let's just talk about negotiations. If you learn how to negotiate well with the spouse, with anyone, and if they say something like, I don't want to do that. Well, I hear you don't want to do that. So in order for us to move forward, let's say someone says, I don't want to do food shopping this week. Okay. How are we going to do that? How are we going to get food in the house? I don't know. And then you say, we have to agree to find your spouse, and you hopefully have a way of communicating together. And if you don't, that's the time to get in a therapist, even if it's on Zoom or whatever, to get someone in to actually help you to start hearing each other and then negotiating with each other. Because if you lose your job, that's not something you can change. And I'm a strong advocate. And if you have a problem, don't make it worse by your reaction to it. If a person loses their job, that's horrible. And they don't need to take it out on their husband or wife or friends, because now you have that problem, losing your job, and now you have no support system. So deal with your feelings on your own. Like I said, write about it. Go into a room by yourself, hit a pillow, scream, curse, do whatever you need. Get it out. And then when you're ready and you can come from a place of calm, then you do that and you just feel really calm with each other and you're able to communicate and say, okay, all right, I don't want to go shopping this week. I've been shopping every week. Great. Okay, let's get food delivered. Just have, you know, I don't want to mention any company, but, you know, there's a lot of companies that deliver food. Let's bring food every day. If that's what's going to make this work, I think that it's not about worrying about every penny right now, unless you absolutely have to. It's about how to make it so you compromise with each other and love each other and talk to you. Hey, it must be really hard going shopping every week, especially like what you're saying, you know, it's so uncomfortable wearing a mask. It's so, you know, difficult to be in just that kind of atmosphere where you look at people where you used to be able to smile and say hello down the aisle. You don't, you
can't
do that.
It's a horrible feeling,
anymore.
Actually. It is a horrible feeling to look at people and not see a smile. It is really, to me, it's such a terrible feeling, because, and there's all this fear. Oh my God, you know, I mean, there's this fear going on and anxiousness. And one elderly man, he didn't have his mask. Oh my God, I left my mask. I forgot my mask. I mean, he was freaking out, you know, because he put his hand over his mouth and I'm like, you know, poor man. I felt sorry for him, you know. And then with this young girl that was married to, and her marriage is on the rocks and all this, one of the things that I told her, because she said, I am, sorry about that, I am a Catholic and I do pray, you know, and, you know, I pray to God all the time. And I said, I don't know, I just said it. I said, have you ever prayed for your husband? And she said, she looked at me so shocked, and she said, no, I never even thought about that. And I said, well, maybe you should try praying for your husband, and maybe that'll help you and find an answer and make you feel better, you know. And she was, like, so taken back with that. In fact, I was taken back with it, too, because, you know, from what she told me, her husband wasn't the nicest person. I said, well, maybe that'll help if you're praying for your husband. And I said, because that's also a form of forgiveness when you pray for your enemies.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can, and she can actually say to him, this is hard for me. It's very hard for you. What can we do so we can make our marriage sweeter? Because COVID is hard enough. We don't want to have to come home and, you know, if we're, you know, coming home or we're just staying home and just have our lives one long misery. No one can live like that. We have to be able to do well, and then we can help others. And maybe, for example, I have this stress management album. It's on iTunes. If anyone wants it, just Joyce Alexander Black on iTunes, Stress and Anxiety Management. And there's a meditation in there. There's a lot of different stories. And just, you know, listen to it together. Find something that will work.
That is a fantastic, fantastic offer, this record that is on iTunes, everyone, because it's Stress and Anxiety Management, Healing Your Heart with Guided Imagery by Joyce Alexander Black. And the most important thing that she has given us today is hope.
and also that you can relieve your stress in your life if you take action and you take one foot forward and start taking action towards those goals, because she also gave us goals and information on how to overcome our anxiety and our new changes in our lives, because everyone is involved in these changes. There's no one who's escaping these changes, correct?
There's no one. It's not possible. You know,
no.
It's just not possible. And what's interesting also is the animals and wildlife are doing much, much better. They're actually not being harmed. They're actually being free. You're getting animals roaming the streets because they're like, we're not out there. They are. It's like there's this imbalance we had, and we're learning.
There's
that
definitely an imbalance. There's definitely an imbalance.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but for
it's
the first time today in my backyard, the geese, I could hear them, and I'd go outside, and flocks of geese would be flying over our house because they're being displaced with all the fires as well.
Yes.
So,
and
yeah.
That it goes to, again, prepare, don't panic. Like, everybody is going, this happens, like, and they have so much and never get to the bottom. It's like, just take on one problem at a time. Like, yeah, what's happening with geese? My goodness, you know, I live in the city, so, you know, geese, just not something I'm used to hearing, but it's like people have foxes, people have bears. I mean, I heard about a bear walking into someone's kitchen, and it's just like so extraordinary that's happening that we don't even have a clue what it is. That I believe 100%. But what we can do is know, okay, this is where I stay. I need to listen to others. I need to first express my feelings, learn how to be proactive. So when I'm stressed, do that simple breathe in, breathe out technique. I can listen to, let's say, my record on iTunes or someone else's, whatever, yoga, meditation, whatever's going to bring you calm. And if you need any coaching, you can always go to my website at joycealexanderblack.com. And it's something that I just think that if everybody just thinks, okay, if I only think of myself, I'm not being a participant in this world. Like I cook meals for my neighbors. I have some elderly neighbors and I have some people who live alone, you know, not all the time, but I'll bring something and just come over, give a smile and, you know, leave it in the distance. And at least somebody is showing some TLC care. And I think that that's all we can do is just remember we're in this together. We're not in this alone. We're all in this together. We're all one. Every single person in the entire world, we are connected on this. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how healthy you are, how unhealthy you are. It affects everybody.
Everybody and everything. And on that note, Joyce Alexander Black, I want to thank you so much for being on Colombo Chronicles Live and for all the good work you're doing to help people get through their stress in their daily lives and at work, but also in this situation. We're all in the ship together. We need to help each other or the ship will sink, and we don't want that to happen. We want to stay afloat and move on with our lives and get back to normal, God willing. Thank you so much, Joyce Alexander Black.
Exactly.
And I hope to talk to you,
thank you
in the future.
Thank you.
Hello.
So much, Rose. Thank you for having me on your show. And I just wanted to say, if anyone is in the mental health field and my records can help them, please get a hold of me and I'm happy to help.
Yes. And it's joycealexanderblack.com. And again, her iTunes record is
stress and anxiety management, healing your heart with guided imagery. Thank you, and God bless you, Joyce. Stay healthy.
Thank you. You too, and stay healthy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Joyce Alexander Black has left the building. Again, you can just go to her website, joycealexanderblack.com, and you can contact her, and you can also buy her iTunes record. Again, it is Stress and Anxiety Management Healing. You're healing your heart with guided imagery. Boy, do we all need that, right? And on that note, I'm going to take just a minute break here, and then I'm going to come back and we'll talk about a few of the issues of the day.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back. This is The Rose. We only have a few minutes, so let's go over what WND has to say. CDC, 85% of COVID patients always or often wore a mask. A study by the Centers for Disease Control indicates that Americans are adhering to mask mandates, but they don't appear to have slowed or stopped the spread of the coronavirus. So the masks are, as many, many doctors around the world have said, the virus, including Dr. Fauci, who also said they're for optics, for show, and to make people feel protected. The article also says, and further, mask wearing has negative effects. And as I've stated, being in skincare, you're breathing in carbon monoxide, which also affects the brain, according to the doctors, and you are not breathing in fresh air. I did a blog at www.roseforjustice.com on the Spanish flu in 1918, and what they concluded was the masks didn't work, and what they needed was fresh air and ventilation, and that there wasn't enough fresh air and ventilation getting to the patients. They didn't have tons of hospitals and modern-day hospitals with lots of windows and doors and all this type of thing back in the day. And they were, a lot of them were in tents and so forth, makeshift areas, and they were enclosed. They were not getting fresh air. And one of the major things they said they needed, which is what our guest also mentioned, was we need to do deep breathing and exhaling several times a day. And that's using our nose and our mouth, which God gave us, to breathe in fresh air, oxygen. If you're by the ocean, the ions, excellent for the body and mind, and breathe out the carbon monoxide. And also, it has other adverse effects, according to many doctors that I've researched, who said it could cause Legionnaires, it can cause dry skin, it can cause numbness on the cheeks. Dentists say it can cause unhealthy gums, teeth, bad breath, and dry mouth. And it can also clog the pores if you have oily skin like teenagers, and cause acne. And so there's many, many other negative issues as well. And the article says, in its survey of symptomatic COVID-19 patients, the CDC found that 70.6% reported always wearing a mask. an additional 14.4 say they often wore a mask. And that was by investigative journalist Jordan Schichtel, who reported for WND. So we have all this controversy going on about the mask and the people invested in the mask and the testing kits, even before COVID was even announced, like in 2018. And then we were doing the fear-mongering with Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates way back since 2014. And it wasn't so long ago Bill Gates stated that you have no choice. Everyone on the planet will be vaccinated. But he also has an ID 2020 that tracks and spies and traces people. And so he's invested in Big Pharma and he's invested in vaccines, along with many CEOs and investors on Wall Street, as well as AI. And so these are big money makers for them if they all come to fruition and continue on into what they call the new normal. Doesn't sound so great to me, but maybe to you it does. Everybody's different. Todd Starn says, Nashville's Metro Public Health Department said it is investigating a Let Us Worship prayer, a prayer event that was held outside the city's Metro Courthouse on Sunday that attracted about 10,000 worshipers. The event was reportedly led by Sean Fuch, F-A-U-C-H-T, a religious author and recording artist. He issued a statement Tuesday on Twitter that accused Nashville of selectively targeting Christians for harassment and punishment. They've been doing that in California. They've been doing it in New York as well. It appears to be spreading. Christians are not liked by the left. He pointed out that on the same day the event took place, the World Health Organization reversed its policies on lockdowns. There's no need for an investigation here, he said. Thousands of Christians gathered together responsibly and peacefully to sing and pray in accordance with the First Amendment because we are tired of government officials telling us when, where, and how we can practice our faith. Brian told Todd, a spokesman for the city's health department, told News Channel 9 that the department is very concerned by the actions at the event and we are investigating and will pursue appropriate penalties against the organizer. Nashville is considered to be in the coronavirus red zone and has a transmission rate of 1.11, which health officials called unsatisfactory, according to Fox 17. Well, according to CDC, 99% of the population recovers from positive testing. Positive tests are not the same as cases, according to international doctors. And they, MSM and CDC, have been counting positive tests as cases. And so that is not an accurate reading of how many cases there actually are, because positive testing is just a test and there's false positives as well. So that would be like counting every person who had a cold 24/7. He has cold, he has cold, he has cold, she has cold, he has cold, they have cold, she has cold, he has cold, and then calling them cases. But the real cases would be people who actually got pneumonia and ended up in the hospital or in a nursing home. And most people who die from COVID, according to the doctors, are people who are elderly, 80 years old, and they are already in a nursing home or a hospital, and they have underlying conditions, which like heart attacks and diabetes and lung or liver diseases, or advanced Alzheimer's and drug overdoses and so forth. And many people are overdosed on prescription drugs. So it's not just illegal drugs. People die of prescription drugs as well and overdosing on those opioids. So there's a lot of issues out there, a lot of issues for you to research. Don't panic. Research, do your own homework, and come to your own conclusions and your own decisions. And in the meantime, stay stress-free, manage your stress, get the record on iTunes, Stress and Anxiety Management by Joyce Alexander Black, and start relaxing your mind, your body, and your spirit, and your soul, and be right with God, because in the end, that's all that's going to matter, is being right with God. And God bless the President of the United States and all our legislators. May he guide them in making the right decisions. And may he guide every voter in making a right decision. It's your duty and your obligation as a loyal, patriotic American to exercise your privilege and your right to vote. So be sure to vote in person if you can, but however you can, vote, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.